6-year-old Jimmy had a prayer for God, and he said, "Dear God, who did you make smarter, boys or girls? My sister and I want to know." 9-year-old Lois said, "Dear God, please help me in school. I need help in spelling, adding, history, geography, and writing. I don't need help in anything else." 7-year-old Debbie said, "Dear God, please send a new baby for mommy. The new baby you sent last week cries too much." 7-year-old Hank said, "Dear Lord, thank you for the nice day today. You even fooled the TV weatherman." 8-year-old Angela said, "Dear God, this is my prayer. Could you please give my brother some brains? So far, he doesn't have any." 8-year-old Diane said, "Dear God, I am saying my prayers for me and my brother Billy because Billy is just 6 months old and he can't do anything but sleep and wet his diapers." 7-year-old David said, "Dear God, I need a raise in my allowance. Could you have one of your angels talk to my dad? Thank you, David." As we get to the end of Ephesians, I have to tell you there's a part of me that's a little bit sad. I mean, we've been working through Ephesians for several months now, since January, in fact, verse by verse, section by section. And so as we get to the end, I'm a little bit saddened by that. But I hope you notice, as we get to the end of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul kind of finishes up right where he started. In the beginning of Ephesians, if you remember back, Paul had these words to say near the beginning, at the end of chapter 1, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." And so Ephesians begins with Paul praying for the church in Ephesus. Now remember, this letter is a circular letter. It was intended for all the churches in Asia Minor at the time. So if you will, I'll even say Paul began this letter praying for us, for Christians. And he comes full circle. By the end of the book, Paul closes by saying, "And now I want you to pray for me, to lift me up in your prayers." And so Ephesians begins and ends with prayer. It's also interesting that Paul begins Ephesians by lifting us up to the heavenly realms, telling us all about the blessings we have in Christ. He ends by pulling us back to our knees and saying, we need to be a people of prayer. We need to be all about prayer. As we've put on the full armor of God so that we can stand firm, and after everything happens to stand, we also need to go to God in prayer. And so Paul is going to tell us here at the end of Ephesians chapter 6 what it means to be a person of prayer. And I recognize that perhaps I've already lost a few people. Because in the world today and in history past, many people, when we talk about prayer, they think it's some kind of mumbo jumbo or some type of superstition. Many people perhaps think it's just mumbling to yourself or making yourself believe there's a God who really listens. Some people, in fact, believe it's a form of magic where we ask for something and God would grant that to us. Sort of an Aladdin's lamp, so to speak. We'll rub and polish and get what we want. Other people, it's just some self-talk or mental ascent or aligning yourself more with the spiritual realm. But they don't really believe in prayer. I'm here to tell you this morning, Scripture talks clearly about prayer. Scripture talks about prayer. It's a very real thing, a very powerful thing. I happen to believe, I hope you do too, that prayer changes situations. As we pray, as we ask God, as we thank God, prayer changes situations. And Paul is going to tell us in this passage that we need to be all about prayer, to be a people of prayer. If you don't believe in prayer, it's a hard thing to be a Christian because there are over 500 passages in Scripture that talk about prayer. Jesus prayed. Jesus taught us to pray. He teaches about prayer. And in this passage, Paul is going to give us some help to know how we're to pray. So if you have your Bible with you, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And in just a very short passage, a few verses, in fact, Paul uses the word all 4 different times. He's going to use the word all to introduce us to some principles about prayer in the Christian life. In fact, if you were to translate this first verse, this first sentence, literally, it would look something like this. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And so one sentence, really, Paul uses the word all 4 times to tell us about prayer and how we should pray and what we should pray for and how we should pray or who we should pray for. The first thing that Paul mentions in this passage, he says we're supposed to pray on all occasions, all kinds of prayers. In fact, he uses a couple different words to describe different categories about the things that we're to pray about. 2 different words, the word prayer and the word petition. The first one we know, a very general word, being prayer, simply having a conversation with God. That's what it means. I don't know about you, but a lot of people I've heard through the years have said, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know who to pray for. I'm not a good prayer, if you want to make a verb, or I don't even know what that would be, an adverb. But I'm not very good at praying. People say those things. What should I pray about? What should I pray for? I'm not very good at that. Well, prayer, friends, in a very general sense, is just talking with God. Having a conversation with Him. We are, after all, God's children. We have been adopted into His family. We are in the family of God. We can have a conversation with our Heavenly Father. Family talk. Maybe like a talk around the dinner table. Your talk with God can be intimate. It can be frank. It can be unrestricted. You can talk with your Heavenly Father who cares deeply about you. And so Paul tells us in the passage here, we're supposed to pray on all occasions, all kinds of prayer. We can have conversation with God. But he goes on beyond that, and he uses a very specific word, a second word. He says, petition, with petition. Some versions of the Bible use the phrase supplication. Specific pleas, specific asking for help. We can go and not only talk to God and have a very frank, open conversation with Him, we can also have a very specific conversation with Him. Talking to God about our deepest needs. We can ask God, I need you to help me in this situation. God, my relationship is broken and I need your help. Can you help me be the man or the woman that you've called me to be in this relationship? God, my work environment is horrendous. Can you help me at work be the example, be the light, endure that situation for you? Father, school is difficult right now. Can you help me be able to focus and pass the tests I need to and get the homework done and organize my time? God, can you help me with direction in this situation? God, I need more patience. I need your help in my spiritual growth. We can be very specific in our prayers. We can ask in confidence. God listens. He answers our prayers. And so Paul tells us, here's the way that you can pray. You can very generally converse with God. You can also go to Him with very specific prayers. Paul uses these words to give us this idea for all kinds of different types of prayers. We've got example after example in Scripture. One word that might help you this morning, or perhaps as you move forward, if you haven't heard this already, is the word Acts. Like Acts of the Apostles, but we're going to use it like an acrostic this morning. And so taking the letter A, for example, would mean adoration. Expressing your adoration, praising God for who He is. He is awesome and holy and powerful and perfect. He is just and we should praise Him. We should adore Him. The second letter, C, confession. As we pray to God, we should confess our sins to Him. Being open and honest with Him. The letter T, prayers of thanksgiving. Thanking Him for the way He provides, protects, blesses us. The letter S, prayers of supplication, asking for help in specific situations. God, help me with this. Perhaps if you need help in your prayer life, that might be just a simple way you can get started. The word acts. We also know that we can pray in all kinds of temperaments, feeling differently, whether we're angry or joyful, whether we feel guilt or depression. We can still always go to a God who listens. Whether we're in a moment of happiness or hopelessness, whether we feel helpless or in moments of gratitude, we understand we can pray all kinds of prayers in all kinds of situations, in all kinds of temperaments. You see, we can pray whether we feel in need or whether we've got plenty, whether we're sick or healthy, whether we're feeling spiritually empty or if we're experiencing a moment of being blessed and overwhelmed by God's graciousness and His compassion. All kinds of temperaments. All kinds of prayers. We can go to God in prayer. Whatever emotion, whatever situation you find yourself in, we understand we can go and have conversations with God about anything. Perhaps it's about a Broncos football game that started 10 minutes ago. I commend you for being here today, those of you fans. We'll be over before too long and you can get back to the game. But we can pray to God about anything. Now we'll get to that in just a little bit. I'm going to squelch that thought just a little bit. But we can pray about anything. There are all types of examples. In Scripture, there are several precedents for how we can pray as well. You can pray publicly. You can pray privately. You can pray in a loud cry out to God or in a whisper. You can pray silent prayers. You can pray standing, sitting, kneeling, laying down. Some people in the Bible fell prostrate before God. You can pray prayers that are planned or spontaneous. You can pray whether you're at home or at church, wherever you may be. If you're at work or as you're traveling, you can pray with your hands folded or raised or eyes open, closed, head bowed or upright. Every single one of those is in Scripture as an example of people who were praying. So we need to understand prayer is talking to God. It is conversing with God. It doesn't matter what situation you're going through. You can go to the Father. It doesn't matter your attitude or your circumstances. What you're feeling, we can go to God in prayer. We need to understand, this is key. God is big enough. He is big enough, no matter how small you are, no matter how low or deep in a dark hole you are, God is big enough to hear your prayers and to respond accordingly. For Christians, every place becomes a place of prayer. And Paul reminds us in this passage, on all occasions, all kinds of prayers we can pray. The second thing that he says about prayer in this passage, we can pray at all times. In the Spirit, on all occasions, at every place and every moment, we can pray. And that's interesting because many religions in the world today will tell you you are supposed to pray at certain times of the day, correct? You're supposed to pray facing a certain direction. Or you're supposed to say certain words in your prayer. And as a Christian, it's different. We can pray at all times, in all ways, in all places, in all forms. We can pray to God. We read in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 36, be always on the watch and pray. It's not a specific time. It's not a specific place. Mark, chapter 14, verse 38, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And of course, we know that Paul wants us to pray. Elsewhere in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, pray without ceasing. Other versions say, pray continually. So understand, as a Christian, we're to pray at all times. Now, I do want to explain what that means and what that does not mean, because sometimes we get confused about that. First, we need to understand praying at all times. It does not mean that we have these very formal, noticeable, long-winded, every waking moment of the day, or a ritualistic pattern, or a mechanically cited prayer. That's not what Paul is talking about. You know people who do that. They say the same prayer over and over and over and over and over and over again. And many people even have a device that they use to help them pray, or a chant that they say, or a mechanical type of prayer. That's not what Paul is talking about here. So what is he talking about? What that means is we're to have a God consciousness, a deep awareness of his presence at all times. When we pray without ceasing, it's because we know God is there. We can go through life, no matter what situation it is. We understand God is there. He wants us to succeed. He wants to help you. He wants to see you move faster, farther in your relationship with him. He wants to see you mature and grow. So it means if you are facing a temptation, you can pray for a way of escape. When things are going well, when things are beautiful and grand and good, you can thank God in that moment. Yesterday, I found myself on the top of Palisade Rim, riding a mountain bike trail. And it was awesome to experience God's glory and his majesty being at a point of overlooking the valley and seeing the Grand Valley below. It was just a moment. It was beautiful. It was awesome. I encourage you to make your way up that trail someday. The climb is horrible. I cannot overstate that. But when you see evil or trouble around you, you can pray for strength or a way to overcome. What it means is when you see someone who doesn't know Christ, you can whisper a prayer about them. God, be with that person. Or God, give me the words to speak with them. When you're going through a trial you're facing, God, be with me through this. As we go through life as Christians, we can pray at every place, at every moment, various prayers, silent prayers, but we can pray, God, I need your help to get through this. God, would you be with me? Perhaps the most God-conscious person I know to date, his name is John Marins. He's a preacher at a church in Granby, Missouri. He was a board member at the mission work we were part of and a good friend of mine. And I've been in many a meeting or a restaurant conversation or even driving down I-70 between St. Louis and Joplin, Missouri, going 70 miles an hour. And John would pray. And John was driving. I believe he kept his eyes open. I was in the back seat. But John was in a conscious state, a constant state of God consciousness. God is there. And we'd be talking about something and say, Seth, well, let's pray about that right now. Right now. Let's pray about that. We can pray at all times. We can pray through life situations. In Colossians 3, verse 2, Paul writes this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. As we go through life, we need to have this God consciousness. And no matter what we're going through, no matter what the situation is, we should ask God for help and be thankful for what he's done for us. Now, it is interesting, if you didn't notice this, there seems to be a qualifying phrase here in our passage. How are we supposed to pray at all times? Well, it says we're supposed to pray at all times in the Spirit. Or literally, we're to pray in the Spirit at all times. And that's a pretty powerful qualification in this passage. Our prayers, when we pray, they're supposed to be in the Spirit. When we pray, they're supposed to be spiritual prayers. And to be honest with myself, with you, with yourselves, most of our prayers probably aren't very spiritual at times. Most of our prayers are, God, I want you to help me do this. Or God, I want you to give me this. Here's what I'd like for you to do for me, God. But as we go through the Bible, as we look at Scripture and we consider how we're supposed to pray, Jesus even prays prayers like this. The Son of God, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Or when he teaches us to pray, he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to pray in Jesus' name. We're supposed to pray in the Spirit. What that means, we're supposed to pray, God, we want what you want for us. God, what is your will? God, what will you have me do? How would you have me behave? How would you have me react in this situation? How would you have me respond, God? Our prayers as we pray, here's the qualification. We can go before God on all occasions with all kinds of prayers in all places, but when we pray, we're supposed to pray in the Spirit, to pray primarily about spiritual needs rather than physical needs. Now, don't hear me wrong. It is very okay. It's expected to pray about physical needs. But primarily in Scripture, the things that we're supposed to pray about are spiritual in nature. And I wonder if we took a poll this morning and we're honest with ourselves, first of all, we would probably recognize we don't pray enough. But as we get into the nitty-gritty, we probably pray most often about physical things. Help me with my job. Help me with my sickness. But what we ought to do is pray, God, help me react in the way you'd have me react. Help me become the kind of man you would have me to be. Help me become the kind of woman you want me to be in this situation. God, use this situation to draw me closer to you. Your will be done. The Bible tells us we're to pray spiritual prayers. We're supposed to pray in the Spirit at all times. As you go down through this passage, don't forget where Paul is writing from. He's writing from prison. He's chained to a Roman guard. And even Paul, as he prays, what does he pray for? He doesn't say, get me out of this situation. He doesn't say, I want you to pray for me, and when you pray, here's what I want you to say, that I'd be released from these chains. He doesn't pray, in fact, that, you know, God would heal the sores that must be on his wrists. Please help my arms heal. No. He doesn't pray that he would be able to defend himself and be released, set free. Instead, he prays for what? He prays for boldness. That as he speaks to people, they will learn about the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They will learn about God. He's not praying for freedom. He's praying for a boldness to preach the gospel message. So we have this qualification. We're to pray in the Spirit about spiritual things. He tells us all kinds of prayers, all occasions, but our prayers should be spiritual in nature more than they should be physical in nature. He goes on. The third thing Paul tells us about prayer. He says we're to pray with all perseverance and petition. Now the NIV, the version that is on the screen, the version that I preach from right now, it says this, be alert and always keep on praying. Nothing wrong with that, but what they miss is they don't mention the two words Paul has already mentioned repeated in this passage. The passage literally tells us we're supposed to be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. That word perseverance is faithful endurance, to persist, to stay at it. And how often in prayer, how often do we just throw out a prayer to God and we expect him to respond immediately? And we stop right there. Well, God didn't answer my prayer. How often do we do that? But he tells us we're supposed to pray with all persistence. There's something about our prayers, not just a one-time thing, but something we're supposed to keep on doing, to keep on praying and keep praying and keep praying. Reminds me of a couple of interesting stories in the New Testament. The first one is a story of a persistent neighbor. Jesus shares this story of the persistent neighbor. He says, which one of you would, if your neighbor came and knocked in the middle of the night on your door, maybe you don't get up to answer the first time, but if he keeps knocking and keeps knocking and he keeps knocking, keeps asking, which one of you wouldn't get up and help your neighbor after he's been so persistent? He'd better be a good neighbor, right, to be doing that in the middle of the night. But Jesus continues with the phrase that many of us are familiar with, Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Literally, that passage reads, keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. He tells the parable of the persistent neighbor. He says, that's how we're supposed to ask God. And so Paul says, be persistent. We're supposed to pray at all times, all kinds of things, all different styles of prayers. But we're supposed to pray with persistence. Also, think about the story of the persistent widow. The widow had been treated unjustly, and she goes before an unjust God, an unjust judge. Perhaps you remember the story. And she keeps bothering him and seeking justice. And Jesus tells the story in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And Paul reminds us in our prayer life that we can pray at all times. We can come before our Heavenly Father. We can make specific requests. We can pray at any place, any time, with all kinds of various phrases and requests in various ways. But when we come in prayer, we should be persistent. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Pray with perseverance. But he also uses the word petition, and it's the same word that we saw earlier, a specific request. We're supposed to pray specifically. Not just pray repeatedly, but be specific in our requests. And I just wonder if we pray prayers like, God, just bless the whole world. That's great. God, please bring world peace. That's great. But it seems like maybe that's not really what Paul had in mind. We're supposed to be specific. Each of us are unique. We're supposed to pray about specific people, specific things, specific times. We're supposed to pray for particular people, particular problems, particular needs, to pray specifically and earnestly. Be persistent, be specific. That's how we should pray. Oftentimes, the only time we pray is when we get ourselves into trouble. A situation where we have no way out on our own. God, I've got myself in trouble. I can't get myself out of this. And I need you right now to do this for me. My point is, we know how to be specific. We know how to be persistent. But we're persistent and we're specific when a problem comes our way, rather than being specific and persistent all the time. And Paul says, be persistent. Be specific, persevering in our prayers. And as we read the words, Paul says he prayed constantly. In fact, if you remember back to the beginning of the book, Paul says, I constantly pray for you in my prayers, mentioning each of you to my God and Father. He was modeling the way that we are to pray as Christians, to pray often, to pray earnestly and specifically, and mentioning people in our prayers. That brings us to the fourth all that Paul mentions. We're to pray for all the saints. He says it right here in the passage, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, please keep in mind, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be praying for non-Christians. Paul is not saying we should not be praying for non-Christians. We're supposed to pray for non-Christians. We're supposed to pray so that we can reach them with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul himself says, pray for me. Give me that I would be given boldness so I can go out and preach to other people. So it's not that we shouldn't be praying for non-Christians. We should be. There's nothing wrong with praying for ourselves as well. There are plenty of biblical examples where we're called to pray for ourselves that we would be strengthened and encouraged and steadfast. But it also says we're to be praying for other people, to consider them and more important than ourselves. It calls us to pray for other Christians, even as Paul is sitting in prison. Even as I'm sure he, like anyone else, is concerned with his physical needs, Paul says these people, that they would pray for him, not to relieve his physical problems, but to give him boldness, that he would speak with boldness. Verses 19 and 20, again, pray for me also, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul is begging for the people, pray for me, that I can have strength to preach the gospel message. I want to suggest to you this morning, there is nothing more important that you could do for someone else than to truly pray for them, to pray for other people. There is nothing that is more needed than for you to pray for other Christians, that they will remain strong. Now let me share something with you. As you are praying for other people, as you are praying for other Christians, their needs, other ways that you can help them, will become very clear to you. They will be constantly on your mind. You will develop compassion and feeling and want to help them. Pray for other people. There's nothing more needed than for you to pray for other Christians. In fact, I want to get personal with you. If I could ask you a favor, it would be to pray for our ministry staff here at this church. Hold us up in prayer. That's what Paul is asking for. Pray for me also that whenever I open my mouth, words will be given me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Here's what I want you to do on my behalf. Will you pray for me? Will you just do that? God, will you do this for me? That's oftentimes our prayer life. And Paul says we should be concerned about praying for other people. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, I'm reminded of this situation as he is talking about the people of Israel. He said, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Isn't that interesting? Samuel felt like his primary responsibility was to pray for the people of Israel. And it's interesting, as we get to the end of Ephesians, Paul has told us all about the spiritual armor of God that we're to put on so that we can stand firm. And afterwards, he says, that's not enough. You've also got to pray. We need to become a people of prayer. We've got to pray at all times, all kinds of prayers. We've got to pray with all persistence and perseverance and petition for the saints. And I just wonder, what kind of people would we become if we were this type of people, a people of prayer? I asked you a few weeks ago when we were talking about debt, what would life be like here at this church if our entire church body were out of debt? What could we accomplish for the Lord? What types of things could we do for the Lord? Just about anything we wanted. Just about anything we felt God was calling us to do. And I just wonder if we totally committed ourselves to becoming the type of person that in all things, in all situations, prayer was not the last resort, but prayer was in fact the first step that we took. And we started praying, God, help us become the kind of people you want us to be. God, help us to preach the gospel message to the people more clearly, more effectively. Help me, God, reach someone else for Christ. Have you prayed that prayer? God, help me reach someone else for Christ. Or if we began praying for each other, God, help us to remain pure. God, help us to remain on target. God, help our vision to be clear and strong. God, please use our church to reach people here in Grand Junction and beyond with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. What would happen if our church, if our congregation started praying for each other in a way that would be to go out and preach with boldness about Jesus? Well, see, that's exactly what Paul is telling us here. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. We need to become a people of prayer. We need to become all about prayer. All kinds, all times, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And with that in mind, let's pray together this morning.